Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Salutarian Congregation out of the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is October 14, 2017, or it's Tishri 25, 2021, and we'll start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled A Whispering Hope. Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Hope with a gentle persuasion whispers a comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Hope for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone. Whispering hope, a welcome voice. Making my heart and its sorrow rejoice. If in the dusk of the twilight can be the region afar, will not the deepening darkness brighten the glimmering star? Then when the night is upon us, why should the heart sink away? When the dark midnight is over, watch for the breaking of day. Whispering hope, a welcome voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice. Hope is an anchor so steadfast, brings the dark veil for the soul. When the Master hath entered from the grave of his gold, come, there will come glad fruition. Come to my sad very heart. Come, O thou blessed hope of glory, ever, O never depart. Whispering hope, oh, how welcome thy voice, making whispering hope, a welcome voice, making my heart in its sorrow rejoice. Raise Him Up, Part 6, Jeremiah 51. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that rise up against me, a destroying wind. And will send unto Babylon fanners that shall fan her and shall empty her land. Okay, for in the day of the trouble that shall be against her round about. Against him that bendeth, let the archer bend his bow, and against him that lifteth himself up in his brigandine, and spare ye not her young men, destroy ye utterly all her host. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and they that are thrust through in her streets. For Israel hath not been forsaken, nor Judah of his Yahweh of the Yahshua of the host, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. This is the time of the Yahshua's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Yahweh's hand, and made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore the nations are mad. Babylon has suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balm for her pain, if so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us go, every one into his own country. For her judgment reaches unto heaven and is lifted up even unto the sky. For the Yahweh hath brought forth our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Yahweh or Elohim. Make bright the arrows, gather the shields. Yahweh hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Yahweh, the vengeance of his temple. Set up the standard upon the walls of the Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes, for the Yahweh hath both devised and done that which he spake against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in the treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Yahweh the host has sworn by himself, saying, surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapor to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish by his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity, the work of errors. In the time of their visitation they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. For the Yahshua the host is his name. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war, for with thee will I break in pieces a nation, and with thee will I destroy a kingdom. And with thee will I break in pieces a horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman, and with thee will I break in pieces old and young, and with thee will I break in pieces a young man and a maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. Now this is talking about these Adventist shepherds, these Adventist ministers, folks. And Jeff White, I'm instructed to tell you that you have this same commission in Africa. That is your territory. That's where you were raised up. And thus he raised you up there. And you are included in this thee. When he says, with thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. But he's talking about us as leaders of this everlasting kingdom of David. Because we bear the name of heaven. We bear this name David. David was a warrior. Well, that's why he's raised up antitypical Davids, because we are to be warriors, believe it or not. Age don't make any difference in this thing. He always healed me and binding me up, and I'm asking you again, Jeff White, and all your people, when you pray every day, you pray for me and my wife, especially for me. Well, I have one little problem left to get divinely healed. He always give me a 7-year test on it, and I know what's going on. But he told me to enlist your prayers. And the prayers, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So I don't know of any righteous people outside of our people in Africa. That's the only ones that are following the plan that I know of in the world that I know. I'm sure there are many others following the plan of salvation too, all over the world. They've got to be, in order to be a remnant that's at hand to come. But they're waiting for Yahweh's anointed to raise up. And as soon as I get well, 100% where I can travel unencumbered, which I'm getting there, I'm making great progress. I'm about 90% there. As soon as I get to the place, and he told me when I turn 80 years old that I will arrive at that place where I'll be unencumbered, where I can travel anywhere I want to go. And so, this is a walk of faith, folks. And this is who we are. So, I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock, and with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen, and with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and unto all the inhabitants of the Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, saith Yahweh. Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith Yahweh, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out mine hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks, and will make thee a burnt mountain, and they shall not take of thee a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but thou shalt be desolate forever, saith Yahweh. Set you up a standard in the land. That's what I'm telling you now. Yahweh's telling me to set up a standard here in the land of the United States. He's telling Jeff White, you have already set up the standard there in Africa. Now this is a command, a direct command. To set up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare the nations against her. Call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mene, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her. Cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Prepare against her the nations with the kings of the Medes. Alright, now look at this. We have the kings of the Medes right now. Medes and the Persians right now. That are ruling the United States of America. Donald Trump. And Mike Pence, his vice president. They represent the kings of the Medes and the Persians today. They are the kings. It says so right here. It's got an S on king. Prepare against other nations with the kings of the Medes. So, and that word king there says of the Medes, just put a hyphen, Donald Trump and Mike Pence. They're the kings of the Medes. The captains thereof and all the rulers thereof and all the land of his dominion. So what has Donald Trump done? He's taken these army generals, these marine generals, that have already led in the battle, in battles in Iraq and Afghanistan since 2003. These men, he's got three main generals, experienced generals, and he has taken, put them in three key positions, this king of the Medes and the Persians. And the name is Mathis, And her name is Kelly, and I think McDonald. I'm trying to think of that third name. Anyway, in Jeremiah 51:29, and the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Yahweh shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. Now, Babylon came into power in our day at 2001, at the 9/11 here in New York, whenever our government strategized and pulled off that coup of destroying those three buildings there in New York and blaming it upon the Taliban and the ISIS terrorists, the Hezbollah and so forth. And then they made war against them, declared war against them, and went over to the Middle East and started fighting them. Okay? So, because, really, Yahweh's hand was in all of that. Because the United States had to become the aggressor against terrorism that had long been fomenting and coming into our country and training their Arab Muslim troops right here in our country back in the 70s. And I was with Willis Johnson. The first 10 years of our ministry from 1970 to 80, they had secret training camps right there in New Jersey, here in the United States. They had them in Mexico. They had them all over the United States, secret training camps. They was training all these Muslim terrorists. Well, they've been training these Muslim terrorists now going on 50 years right here in this country. So, Babylon was certainly getting thoroughly entrenched to take over all the world and first and foremost the United States. So Yahweh caused our government to pull this big hoax that it was for a reason. It was to make war on terrorism and to go after them, and we're still after them today. So Babylon tried to spread herself like a green bay tree all over the world, and she has indeed done that. And she's at the lead right now trying to fight for her very survival through these Muslims all over the world that are doing these terrorist acts. But that's not going to prevail for them, because it says right here in Scripture, in Jeremiah 51:29, and the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Yahweh will be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. So, the land of Babylon is the United States exclusively. They have come over here, and they have thoroughly entrenched themselves into our government and taken over our government. And the United States right now is their land. But Yahweh has raised up a deliverer, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, Antipical Cyrus and Darius, the kings of the Medes and the Persians. And they are in the process of strategizing and making plans for this great war that is to take place here in this land of Babylon, USA. And then that will fulfill this verse 29. Whenever that happens, once we clean out, the United States completely cleaned out of all the evil, of all the enemies that's come in here with one purpose, and that's to overthrow this country. Now that we've got a deliverer, we're going to work with him, and he's going to fulfill this verse 29 out of Jeremiah 51. And the land shall tremble and sorrow, for every purpose of the Yahweh shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. So what is Yahweh doing? With Donald Trump, he's got him as president of the United States now, and he's in the dismantling all of the fabric that the enemy, Babylon, has set up to overthrow this country and to make it a Muslim country. Now Donald Trump is dismantling all of that structure that they have put in place, completely dissolving it, and then the next thing he's going to have to do is destroy all these mosques, these Muslim mosques here in this country. The Muslims have mosques in 43 states out of the 50 states here in the United States. They've got mosques in 43 states. They've got around 1,000 of them or more. They raise them up all over the United States. And that's all going to have to be destroyed. So, because it says, this verse here says that to make the land of Babylon a desolation without an inhabitant. So these millions of Muslims, these millions of Mexican people that's coming here. But it don't make no difference whether they come from outside or whether they were born and raised here. And because all of those that were born and raised here, white, black, brown, it don't make any difference what their race is. They're going to have to be destroyed and purged out of the land if they can't become righteous. If they can't see and look for purification that they're going to have in order to stay in this land. It's that way in all countries. It's that way in Africa, Jeff. Understand that, David, number two. Understand that. That's the same way in Africa as it is here in the United States. Africa is several times bigger than the United States. You got around 700 million people over there in Africa. We only got less than half that many here in the United States. So you got an awesome land there to conquer. Yahweh will conquer it with you and your people. As they become holy and righteous, he will use you as his battle axe. Let's continue on now in verse 30, Jeremiah 51. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. They have remained in their holes. Their might hath failed. They became as women. They have burned her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. So when Donald Trump took over as president, Obama, the king of Babylon, that was set up to destroy and to dismantle the Constitution of the United States and to drive all the, number one, white people out of here, destroy them, drive them out, any way to get them out, now his power has been broken. And so now he fulfills, and those that follow him fulfills this verse 30 again. The mighty men of Babylon have forborne to fight. All they want to do is just usurp and do underhanded behind the scenes things to try to be a distraction. They don't have any power to resist what the kings of the Medes and the Persians are doing to them. They have remained in their holes, see? Their might have failed. Their might have failed. They became as women. They have burned the dwelling place, her dwelling places. Her bars are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken at one end. Oh my. And that the passages are stopped, and the reeds that they have burned with fire, and the men of war are fighting. So they said, the Yahshua the host, Elohim of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her, yet a little while, and the time of her harvest shall come. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled his belly with my delicates. He hath cast me out. For the force done unto me and unto my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will plead thy cause, and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea, and make her springs dry. And Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, and an astonishment, and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, they shall yell as lion whelps. In their heat I will make their feast, and I will make them drunken, that they may rejoice, and sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake, saith Yahweh. I will bring them down like the lambs to the slaughter, like rams with the goats. With the he goes, How is Shishak taken? How is the praise of the whole earth surprised? How has Babylon become an astonishment among the nation? For the sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of the waves thereof. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. And I will punish Bel and Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up, and the nation shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go ye out of the midst of her, and deliver ye every man his soul from the fierce anger of Yahweh. And lest your heart faint, and ye fear for the rumor that shall be heard in the land, a rumor shall both come 1 year, and after that in another year shall come a rumor, and violence in the land, a ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the day is come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon, and her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. And the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for the Babylon, for the spoiler shall come upon her from the north, saith Yahweh. As Babylon hath caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all the earth. Earth and prophecy, first and foremost, the United States. And this is where this battle is going to begin. And it is already well underway. All the strategy is being formed. The foundation is being laid. And once this Donald Trump gets through laying the foundation there in Washington, D.C., it's going to destroy Washington, D.C. off the face of the earth, number one. Because that's the headquarters of modern-day Babylon today. Ye that have escaped the sword, go away, stand not still. Remember the Yahweh afar off, and let Yahushua come into your mind. We are confounded because we have heard reproach. Shame hath covered our faces. For strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Yahweh, of the Yahweh's house. Oh, this is the Yahweh's house. Strangers have come into the sanctuary of the Yahweh's house. Oh, this happened down at Kermit. I'm a first-hand witness. My wife and I are first-hand witnesses of the strangers that came into Yahweh's house down there. I mean, we had a man that was a channeler. I mean, he was a Satanist. He was possessed with Satan. He channeled Satan every day. And Brother Johnson knew he was wicked and evil, and so he knew that this man was going to come to the Passover 1 year, and so Brother Johnson, he sent a message to him. You're not invited this year. Don't come. We don't want you. Well, the man had already left home, and he didn't get the message. So when he got to Kermit, Texas, Brother says, well, you didn't get the message? And he says, no, what message? He says, well, I sent you a message not to come to the Passover. He says, well, I'll leave if you want me to, but you'll have to give me some money, because I don't have the money to travel with to leave. Anyway, that was his, that was what he said. He probably did have some money, but he just, well, if Willis wanted him to leave, he needed to give him some money. Willis says, well, now, since you're already here, just go ahead and stay. And that man pulled an evil, evil, evil. And he did an evil thing to Willis, and he wrote Willis a letter, and he denounced Willis Johnson, and he told him that you are to step out of the pulpit and not enter that pulpit from one new moon to the next new moon. And lo and behold, Brother Johnson ignored their warning, and he entered into the pulpit one new moon. And before the next new moon, Brother Johnson had fallen and broken his hip. And he was going to deliver a message the next new moon, but he was in the hospital having an operation on that new moon Sabbath. Instead of entering the pulpit, he was in the hospital undergoing the knife. So this man was sent there for a reason, to give Brother Johnson a message. And Brother Johnson ignored it, and it cost him. All right, Jeremiah 51:52. Wherefore, behold, the day is come, says Yahweh, that I will do judgment upon her graven images, and through all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon should mount up unto heaven, and though she should fortify the height of her strength, yet from me shall spoilers come unto her, saith Yahweh. A sound of a cry cometh from Babylon, and a great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. Because Yahweh has spoiled Babylon and destroyed out of her the great voice. And what was the great voice in Babylon today, in these last days? It was Obama. He was the greatest voice in Babylon in these last days. When her waves do roar like great waters, and noise of their voice is uttered. Because the spoiler is come upon her, even upon Babylon, and her mighty men are taken. Every one of their bows is broken. For the Yahweh Elohim of the recompenses shall surely require it. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her captains and her rulers, and her mighty men, and they shall sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake, saith the King, whose name is Yahshua the Host. Thus saith Yahshua the Host, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. And the people shall labor in the vain, and their folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. The words which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Asuriah, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, into Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. And this Asuriah was a quiet prince. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said unto Asuriah, when thou comest to Babylon, and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Yahweh, thou hast spoken against this place, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. It shall be, when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it, and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates, and thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So, Babylon is going to sink. When Donald Trump gets through with his organizing the greatest army in the world, here on earth, against her, it's going to sink her out of sight, and she won't be no more after this. That's why he has such great resistance today, Donald Trump, with his government. That's why he's got everybody against him, because they are members of Babylon, and they realize that if Donald Trump prevails, then they are through. They lose. Okay, that's the end of Jeremiah 51. Now let's go to Malachi chapter 4. And let's see what we got here. It says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith Yahshua of the Host. Now this is the Son. This is the Son talking. This is not the Father. And that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Now, we just had some terrible fires take place out in California this past 2 weeks. And they've had terrible flooding and fires. And fires have burned up whole vineyards I mean, like 4 or 5 counties of vendors in Northern California. And the news report coming out of there says, it looks like hell on earth. Says there's not one stick left, there's not one root, there's not anything that shows any sign of life where the fire is gone. Said over 1,500 houses and buildings have been burnt to the ground, sparing nothing in its wake. Okay, so this kind of sounds like what I just read to you here in Malachi 4. But it says in verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. And the day that I shall do this, saith the Son, Yahshua, of the host." Okay, it says, "Now remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel. And lo and behold, the seventh day Adventists were put on notice way back there after Ellen G. White took the reins in 1844. And she says, we are the spiritual Israel of today. So when Moses brought them out of Egypt, they were called the spiritual Israel in their day. Even though they were co-mingled with the Egyptians, and the wheat and the tares were co-mingled back then with them as well as the wheat and the tares have been co-mingled with every movement since, including the last one for the Adventists. That was the fourth movement. But this fifth movement that we're in now is not to be co-mingled with wheat and tares. When 144,000 comes forth, that will be our sign that there will never again be the wheat and the tares in the house of Israel. Never again. So when that takes place, Revelation 14:1, and 144,000 comes forth, never again then will the purified kingdom be... And incidentally, this is the first time that we've had a purified kingdom since the cross. Yahshua set up a purified kingdom with the apostles at the cross. Just before he went back to heaven, he set up the purified kingdom. Yahshua himself personally set up the purified kingdom. He was here on earth. And he was 33 years old when he set up, no, he was 30 years old when he set up the purified kingdom in 27 A.D. When he called the 12 apostles, he sanctified them and he ordained them, he anointed them, that they would have power over evil spirits, that they would have power to raise the dead and heal the sick. They had this gift given unto them. That's how I know that they purified the kingdom. Because when Yahshua went into the temple and overturned the money changers at the beginning of his ministry at the age of 30 years old, that's when he purified the temple on the hill. He drove the money changers out, got them out of the temple, and there's only one thing that was allowed to go back in, and that was the purified people to perform true worship. That was the only one that was allowed to go back in the temple for 3.5 years. Those money changers were not allowed to come back in. They started gradually drifting back in, though, before the 3.5 years is up. And lo and behold, they finally made their way back in before the 3.5 years is up. And what did Yahshua do? He went back in again just before his crucifixion, and he took cat of nine laws, whip, and he drove those money changers out a second time at the beginning of his ministry when he was 30 years old, and at the end of his ministry when he was 33 years old. Yahshua had to cleanse the temple twice at the beginning and the end of his ministry. Well, when he purified the second time, he left the disciples then in charge of the purified kingdom. And they kept it pure for quite a while, but then pretty soon, here comes the money changers again. And they had the authority by the Roman government then to come in and infiltrate the purified kingdom that the disciples had set up. And there again, once again, the purified kingdom fell away. Well, that's been the case ever since. Every time Yahweh calls the purified kingdom of Israel and sets them up, they do well for a while, and then they get a test come to them, and they fall away. They fall away. That's been the case all ever since Moses and children of Israel coming out of Egypt, 1500 B.C. Now it says right here in Malachi 4, verse 4, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments." Now that is also includes the Seventh-day Adventist generation. Remember the law of Moses. But they have proven time and again that they don't want to remember the law of Moses. Since they got that new leadership of the General Conference and they're running the show, the Adventists have been taught to treat that remembering the law of Moses as false doctrine. Okay? And so, since they've been taught to do that, that's the way the Adventists today, as a general rule, treats that information about remember ye the law of Moses. They don't want to remember the law of Moses. Why? Because the law of Moses condemns them if they commit any sin at all, any kind of sin at all. The law of Moses condemns them. It's not just the Ten Commandments. We know the Ten Commandments condemns you when you sin against the Ten Commandments. But there's other sins that the Ten Commandments don't cover. But the commandments of the sanctuary covers it. And you'll find that in Leviticus 23. You find that in the law of Moses. Okay? Now it says in Malachi 4:5, "Behold, I will send you the Elijah." Now notice I put the definite article "the" in there in front of the name Elijah, because it means personal, specific, one, individual, when you put the article in there. But if you just read it like it's written here, there it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah." But then it's talking about the Elijah that went to heaven over 2,000 years ago, about 2,500 years ago. Then you think only of that Elijah. Well, when is he going to send that Elijah back from heaven? But when you put the article "the" in front of the name Elijah, then you're talking about somebody else with a message of Elijah with that title Elijah. Okay? And so that's what John the Baptist had, that title of Elijah, the forerunner of Yahshua 2,000 years ago. He was called the Elijah. Yahshua told the disciples, he's the Elijah that was to come. I guarantee he's already come, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees knew it not. But you, and you didn't either. You didn't know that John the Baptist was actually fulfilling Elijah's mission that went to heaven 500 years ago. You didn't know that, but I'm telling you that the Jews said that Elijah must first come and restore all things before the Messiah come. And Yahshua says, I'll tell you, Elijah's already come, and they knew it not. That was John, and they perceived that he was talking about John the Baptist. So, there you have it. So Elijah David today, I didn't ask for this name. The Holy Scriptures, by inspiration, gave this name to me. It says, you are the Elijah of today, because I've given you Elijah's message to fulfill. You don't have to specifically be identified as a special individual. All you have to be identified as someone that is my servant, that has a certain message with a certain name. And in this case, it happens to be the Elijah's message that has been given to me to bear. And so therefore, I can also claim that title, Elijah, which in the Hebrew is pronounced Eliyahu. Okay? And what is this Elijah supposed to do in the last days? What's this message supposed to do? It's to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So what does that entail? It entails a revival and reformation. Simply put, there has to be a revival and reformation to take place, and the first thing that it will do, accomplish, is to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And it's to turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. Now, I have children that are out there in the world. I got three more notably that I raised directly up to a certain age, and they were taught in the right way. But since they have separated from me years ago, they have gone their own way, and they have forsaken Yahweh and the truth. So, but they are wanting to be happy, and they are wanting to be successful, and they have been successful according to the eyes of the world. But according to the eyes of heaven, they have miserably failed. But Yahweh will one day, if the father is setting the example, it will show, and they will know it. And one day when the time of trouble really comes upon everyone, what are they going to do? They're going to turn to wherever a light is shining from. And when they see the light shining from you, they're going to say, well, this is the right way to go. We're going to have to go back to our Father's house, because He's the one that's got the light shining upon the hill. We can see that light. The rest of the world has gone out in darkness. And your children then will come to the light, because they won't have nowhere else to turn to. And so that's how it turns the father's hearts to the children. The first thing the father does, this Elijah, when he gets the Elijah's message, he starts praying for his children. And he prays for them every day, several times a day. And one day, Yahweh answers his prayers and saves his children. And so that's how we know that the father has to set the example. And so when I go to Isaiah, I go to Isaiah 49, and I read about 24:25. It says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But this saith the Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered, for I will contend with them, but contend with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I, the Yahweh, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Okay, so there you have it. Okay, Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse is the Adventist church. Okay, so now Jesse's got to produce a rod. And what's the definition for the word rod? The true definition for the word rod means authority for Yahweh's government. Meaning the sanctuary has to be restored before you can teach Yahweh's government. And Brother Johnson restored the sanctuary in 1970, so he was the one that heard the rod of Micah 6:9. It says, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed? In other words, hear the authority to teach Yahweh's government. And what did Brother Johnson say in 1970 when Yahweh gave him the creation calendar and said, restore my sanctuary 100% and gave him the light on how to do it? He said, Yahweh spoke to me. In 1969, he says,
Teach my people my government, that they may all call upon the name of Yahweh with one consent, he said. That's my commission. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And now Yahweh has renewed that commission with Elijah David, the one that's speaking to you right now. And he's given me the same Bible scriptures that he gave Vitihara when he started in 1930, and he told the Adventists, hear ye the rod, and the one who has appointed it. And then in 1970, Brother Johnson repeated the same thing that Vitihara repeated, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And then in 2003, when I separated from Brother W. Johnson, Yahweh says, teach my people my government. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? And so now here I am ready to get ready for this revival and reformation that's going to sweep the whole world, and what it's going to be the introduction. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Micah 6:9 and Isaiah 11. So, we're getting a head start on it today. We're getting a little practice in. And it says right here that in Isaiah 11, well, matter of fact, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just go to Micah. Let's just go to Micah chapter 6. And let's just read that, because that is really what we're dealing with. Micah chapter 6, verse 1. Hear ye now what the Yahweh saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains. Now, Micah chapter 6, verse 1. Hear ye now what the Yahweh saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Now, the mountains means the big organized churches of the world. Starting with the Adventists, they're organized churches. And then it says, and let the hills, the little small churches that are scattered around, let them hear also, the big churches and the little churches. Hear ye, O mountains, S on the mountain. Hear ye, O mountains, large and small, the Yahweh's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. Okay, so who has the strong foundations of the earth? The Seventh-day Adventists and the Protestant world. They have the strong foundations of the earth because they both use the Bible. And they both accept the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Both of these denominations, the Adventists and the Protestants, that's what gives them a foundation, a strong foundation. They have that strong foundation. They're founded upon the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they teach that for the most part. For the Yahweh hath a controversy with his people. Who's his people? The Israel of today, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, can only be identified as his people, not those Protestant worlds, those Sunday-keeping worlds. They're not identified as his people. But they have a strong foundation, but they're not identified as his people. And he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. So he says, O my people, Seventh-day Adventist, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Yahweh. How about the righteousness of his son, Yahshua? This is really who he's talking about. Wherewith shall I come before the Yahshua and bow myself before the high Yahweh? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Yahweh require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. The Yahweh's voice crieth unto the city, the Seventh-day Adventist congregation. And the man of wisdom, that is the man with inspiration, the prophet, shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, parentheses, the authority for the Yahweh's government to be restored and reestablished in the earth, in the everlasting kingdom of heaven that is set upon the earth, in this everlasting kingdom of David. And who hath appointed? Said the Yahweh, the Yahshua's voice, this is the Son, crieth unto the city, unto the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, and her daughters, the Davidians and the branch Davidians. And the man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod, the authority for my government, for Yahweh's government, and who hath appointed it. So who appointed Yahweh's government? It was his Son that came here and appointed Yahweh's government to be taught. Because the Bible says in another place, it says, he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. Okay, it says in verse 10, are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Said, are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the Seventh-day Adventist church? Of the wicked, the terrorists, after the 144,000 are taken out of her, is there still a scant wickedness and scant measure of that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances? I take the balances and they come up on the wicked side. Shall I count them pure with these wicked balances that they have? No. And with the bag of deceitful ways, can I count the Adventists pure when they're using wicked balances to balance their treasury? For the rich men thereof are full of violence. So, the Seventh-day Adventists and all those General Conference leaders, they have absconded with millions of dollars of the Adventist tithes and offerings. And they have appropriated themselves and invested it into the stock market. This is what it's talking about. They made themselves rich, the General Conference leadership of the Seventh-day Adventist. They made themselves rich. They're full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. This is those General Conference Seventh-day Adventist ministers and presidents and vice presidents and anything else that are leadership in the Adventist church. They're ministers down to the lowest level. Therefore also will I make thee sick and smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with the oil. And sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab. Who is Omri? He's the father of Ahab. Who is Ahab? He's the most wickedest king that Israel has ever had. Who's the most wickedest king that the Adventist church has ever had? Just name them. Either any one of those Jesuit General Conference presidents that have been appointed since Figure, and clear back there when they first appointed the first Jesuit Seventh-day Adventist president, that's right there at the Minneapolis conference there, blank his name is Figure, for the statutes of Omri are kept. That's your pagan, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsel that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people. This brings the close of our study this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. It's not easy to be a Christian. Bobby Elijah Day. It's not easy to be a Christian in a whirlwind. Thank you. praising you.